This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast.
Greetings and good evening. This is Reverend Gary Lubin, serving as deacon with the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to our daily devotion in the early evening for individuals and families from page 139 of the Book of Common Prayer. Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Now let us begin our worship together. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold the vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices, O Son of God, O giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of our Lord. Good evening. In today's reading from Matthew, Jesus elaborates on who he is and describes his place in relation to the law and the prophets, including John the Baptist. You might say that it is a contrast and compare exercise, like we used to do in our education for ministry classes way back when. Jesus needs to do this because he has been noticed and has become popular. He has got the people's attention, and they need to know. They want to know, and they deserve to know. It all began with that very public event of being baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Then the same Holy Spirit present at his baptism led Jesus into the wilderness where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was unsuccessfully tempted by the devil. And he was not alone, you know, during his foray into that deserted desert land. Her, the Holy Spirit, accompanied Jesus. Well, that done, Jesus recruited disciples and began to actively and earnestly, publicly proclaim the good news of the reign of God. And along the way, generously and profusely healed people just because they needed to be. Just like we need it too, by the way, in mind, body, and spirit. Then, at one memorable and remarkable hillside event in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught the Beatitudes to a multitude of grateful and very interested and very interesting people. You know, he said to them, all kinds of beautiful people just like them, just like us, are blessed. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, where are we in this diverse spectrum of the good and also the oppressed and the down and out? No matter, they and we are all blessed, sacred, holy, will be comforted, will inherit the earth, we will be filled, receive mercy, see God and be children of God. Those who are persecuted and reviled for following Jesus are likened by him to the Old Testament prophets who were also persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the realm of heaven. So gosh, word about Jesus spread far and wide. Jesus told the common folk that they are the salt of the earth. He told them that they are the light of the world. There were those who naturally wondered how he and his message of love related to Jewish law and tradition. Just how did Jesus fit in? Well, gosh, we can ask that. Just how does Jesus fit in today? Was Jesus saying to ignore the law? No, not exactly. But the scribes and Pharisees may have been wondering that too, but perhaps for different reasons, or perhaps not. I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt. But their perception could have been a loss of control. Was not good fortune in life a sign of God's blessing earned by being righteous? Yes. Isn't that the way it was? Surely all of those people Jesus was healing were not that righteous, did not deserve it, did not earn it. But of course, that is the point of grace, is it not? You don't earn it, or rather, cannot earn it. It is absolutely free. A gift. Grace is what you get when you don't deserve it. Amazing and unearned. Then there is God's mercy. Mercy is what you don't get when you do deserve it. Jesus' profession of love, grace, and mercy is upsetting the apple cart of the scribes and the Pharisees, who were, you know, very extremely careful in keeping the law and keeping a tally sheet, you might say. Perhaps overly careful and overly zealous, by adding layers and layers of extraneous detail, rules, and regulations to describe what it took to meet the law, which, you know, was making people's lives unmercifully and extremely difficult. I think they were well-meaning, but their requirements were onerous. So, Jesus informs them that he, Jesus, God in person, actually came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it, and to fulfill prophecy to boot. Now, what Jesus said must have really honked the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus then says this. He tells the listening audience, perhaps tongue-in-cheek, I don't know, that to enter the kingdom of heaven, their righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees who are listening too, you know. They were standing right in front of him. Jesus has thrown them a curve. A scribe or Pharisee could not very well disagree with what he said. Now, could they? Or would they even want to disagree, having been so flattered in a backhanded fashion? Now, if you or anyone else having to follow all those onerous rules and regulations, the meaning of what Jesus said might have a different nuance. The Beatitudes teach us that God cares more about what is in a person's heart and not so much with the outward appearances. Jesus certainly had everyone's attention. Well, my gosh, he's got mine too. And everyone was listening intently. And I am too. Jesus said clearly that God's law is not abolished or even relaxed a little bit. The law endures, and that is very scary. The law is like a mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. I'm a no-goodnik after all. And the law endures even as we interpret it imperfectly many, many times. But here is the good news. First of all, the purpose of God's saving grace as revealed through the prophets is fulfilled through Jesus. Second, God's demand for obedience is also fulfilled through Jesus. And God's abundant love, amazing grace, and awesome mercy abound. Something to be thankful for. Jesus invites us to be as much like him as we imperfectly can be in order to share the love. Amen. And now a reading from 2 Corinthians. It is not ourselves that we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the same God who said, out of darkness let light shine, has caused his light to shine within us, to give the light of revelation, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us now take some time, you know, pausing our worship together if you need to or would like to do that, to offer up our prayers of intercession, thanksgiving, and praise for the world, for the church, for our national life, for the social and natural orders, for family and personal life, and in particular, for those who are suffering and those who have died. Let us now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now I'm going to read the collect for the fourth Easter. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now let us say together the Collect for the Human Family, which is found on page 815 of the Book of Common Prayer. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love. And work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and all the peoples of the one human race may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, let us say together the Collect for Social Order and Social Justice, found on page 823. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the concluding collect. Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way. Kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. Now, in this time of resurrection, rebirth, renewal, restoration, second chances, third chances, and even more, let us go into the world in peace, hope, and joy to seek and serve God, being and doing God's grace, mercy, and justice, to reconcile, heal, liberate, and serve. Do everything in love.